Because we've been dealing with, and we're concluding this morning, in a series on spiritual gifts. In Romans chapter 12, and let me ask you this question as you're turning in your copy to Scripture. What is your spiritual gift? What is the gift that God has given to you? As we've gone in this series, hopefully you have come to understand a little bit better, and maybe you come to understand seriously, that this God who created you didn't create you haphazardly, didn't just save you for no reason, but He saved you and gave to you a spiritual gift. He gave you a spiritual gift for the very purpose of using it for His glory. And when you use your spiritual gift, it's amazing what happens in your life. It's amazing the difference in your motivation. You get up differently in the morning. You look at life differently, and you really look, how can you use your gift for the glory of God? Sadly, there's a lot of people that are still missing out. They're not using their spiritual gift. They're not using their gift to the glory of God, and they're miserable. I talk to Christians from time to time, and they're absolutely miserable because they've never realized, or maybe they've never been taught, that God has given to them a spiritual gift. If you're saved by the grace of God, God says Himself in Romans and also in the book of Ephesians that He has given to you a spiritual gift. Now, every one of us don't have the same spiritual gift as Paul was talking in Romans. He said, you know, we have a body and there's different functions for different parts of our bodies. My hand has a different function than my eye, has a different function than my ear, has a different function than my nose. Every part of our body has a different function, but the reality is this God who saved you, if you're a Christian, has given you a spiritual gift. Why is it so important? You will never know meaning and purpose in life until you come to experience, until you come to realize and begin to practice in your life out of the overflow of your spiritual gift. So if you'll follow with me in the book of Romans chapter 12, I want to look at the first verse and then skip down to the fourth verse, because listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. He's talking to the saints of God. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then down in verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, everyone members one of another. Listen carefully in verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, when you get to verse 8, Paul is saying to the saints of God, he says, and we dealt with a gift of mercy last week, but this morning we're going to look at the final in the series on the gift of leadership. Now, let me say this before I get to the gift of leadership and what the gift of leadership looks like. You're here this morning and you say, I'm saved. What's the big deal about using my spiritual gifts? The first big deal is this. Number one, it is commanded by you and me from the Lord God Almighty. So when God gives us a command, here's the next thing that happens. He watches to see if we use an exercise, and that's the overflow of our life is based on how we're obeying or disobeying the Word of God. I can look at someone from time to time, and as I listen to them and talk to them, I can ask them just a few pivotal questions, and I can find out how big obedience is to their life. Now, let me say this, and let me ask you this question. If you're saved by the grace of God, obedience ought to be a big deal. Amen? So if obedience is a big deal, if God has given you a spiritual gift, it ought to be big in your heart, in your spirit, that you employ that gift. And I can tell you what will happen when you employ that gift. And I've been a pastor for 30 years plus. And it is amazing what happens. This is the gift that God has given me, the gift of preaching and teaching the Word of God. It absolutely excites me on Sunday morning to get up, to get ready to start preaching. Charlotte may start, she may even say, well, you start before you even get to church. But it is absolutely a joy for me to preach. I've said to you different times, I would preach till 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon if you would let me. But I know there's an old saying, the mind will only intake what the seat will endure. And I recognize that and I understand that. But listen, it absolutely motivates every other aspect of my life. And the God that saved you, there's a lot of people who are looking for purpose in life. You know, some people, as a matter of fact, one of the biggest books that was read some years ago, Rick Warren wrote a book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And the reality is there's a lot of believers that are missing out on their purpose. They don't understand what their purpose is. And part of it is simply because they have not been taught or they don't know they've been given a spiritual gift by God. Well, God wants you to know you have been given a spiritual gift. And you see, the person with the gift of serving, they see a job that needs to be doing. That person who has the gift of teaching, they see a truth that needs to be proclaimed. The person who has the gift of exhortation, they see somebody that needs to be encouraged. That person who has the gift of mercy, they see somebody that needs to be helped. But when you get to the gift of leadership, that person with the gift of leadership, they see somebody that needs help when it comes to that area. And so I shared with you, you know, when we neglect the Word of God, there's not going to be excitement. There's not going to be joy. There's not going to be excitement in our spirit. And so this morning, we're going to look at the gift of leadership because some of you have been given that spiritual gift. Now, let me encourage you as you listen to this and say, well, I don't have this spiritual gift. It may help you understand why somebody else in the church family relates to you. You know, sometimes my nose will alarm my body. For example, this morning I walked out my door and my nose alarmed my brain to something that had happened. There had been a skunk that was killed somewhere close to my house. My hand didn't know the difference. My other hand didn't know the difference. My ear didn't tell me. But my nose, when I walked out the door, it said, dead skunk someplace. Now, listen to me very carefully. If I had said, well, I'm not going to listen to my nose. I'm just going to listen to my ears. I'm just going to listen to what my eyes, I'm just going to go by what. That's why you and I need to be sensitive to somebody else. Do you realize that God can use somebody else in the fellowship to save your life? But sometimes when we're not listening and we want to listen only one way, then we miss out. So I want you to get you a pencil and a piece of paper out because I want to just give you some principles out of the overflow of this passage of Scripture when you look at the gift of leadership. And probably there was no two better individuals in the Old Testament or in Scripture outside of Jesus Christ and Paul, but Joseph and Joshua. You know, all throughout the Bible you see different ones, but two individuals in the Old Testament, Joseph. You remember Joseph was put into prison, but Joseph was given the privilege to be the prime minister over the land of Egypt. And then you had Joshua. Joshua, who was the one who would come after that tremendous servant of God, Moses. And Joshua would lead the children of Israel on into the promised land. Well, what does the gift of leadership look like? Somebody has the gift of leadership. There are some certain characteristics, and that's why the Lord wants you and me to understand, because you're here and you may have this spiritual gift, and you realize after I give these traits, you say, I just now realized that's my gift. Then the reality is, if you realize it, you are called by God to employ it. So what are the characteristics? Well, first and foremost, a person who has the gift of leadership, they have an ability to see the final picture of a major undertaking. Let me just give you an example in the book of Genesis. You remember that Pharaoh had a dream, and he had a dream about a famine that was coming. Had a dream about there's going to be a plenty of crops for 7 years, and there was going to be famine, and everybody would forget that. But God had raised up his servant leader to be the one that would be the one in place for that time. And so Joseph, under the leadership of the Lord, under the assignment of the Lord, when he heard the dream, God showed him the assignment. And you see, the reality of it is, you know, God gave Joseph that ability to see the picture of what was going on. And so Joseph just simply said, Pharaoh, you need to find somebody that will be in charge of taking care of all the crops coming in so the people don't starve to death in the time of plenty, so they'll be ready for the time of famine. Now listen very carefully. If Pharaoh hadn't listened to Joseph, there would be massive death. One of the realities that God does in his servant leaders is this. He uses them oftentimes to teach and preach about life and death, because in reality, there are life and death issues every day of our life. And so in the life of Joseph, you know, he told Pharaoh about the coming famine. And the Bible says this, you know, in Genesis 41, 33 and 34. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land and take over the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Now, what was happening? God had given to Joseph a plan that needed to be executed. Why? Because that is the way God has set up his world. Imagine if there was no such thing as leaders in our country. Imagine if there was no spiritual leaders or community leaders. Imagine if there was no leadership. Everything was chaotic. God has set up those in positions of leadership. And don't ever flinch if you have been given that spiritual gift of leadership. Don't back down and say, well, you know what? If I use that, somebody else might think funny of me. You are called and commanded by God to use your spiritual gift. And you see, here's the reality. Joseph didn't flinch. Here's why. Joseph knew that if he didn't obey God, others' lives would be at stake. Joseph knew that if he didn't do what God told him to do. And so Joseph saw a big picture. He saw a picture. People are going to need food in the time of famine. And so there was a plan to execute that, because that's the role of a leader. That's part of what God has given. Now listen very carefully. Yes, you can study to be a leader. You can plan on being a leader. You can take educational classes. You can take master levels, doctor level, all that. But listen carefully. A God-called leader who has the gift of leadership, it doesn't start with education. God gives to some that ability to lead, and they just have it. It's not instinctively, but it is put into them because God has given it to them. And you can tell. You can tell that person who has the gift of leadership, and I'll explain a few more. But first and foremost, an ability to see the final picture. Are you one of those that, you know, you see the big picture and you just say, well, I just don't understand why everybody else don't see this thing. Be patient with others who don't have your gift. You know, be patient with others who, you know, if you have the gift of mercy, be patient with those that don't have your spiritual gift. Be patient if somebody else has a gift different from you. You see, here's the reality. The more you understand that everybody is different, then ought to cause us to be patient. But secondly, a person who has the gift of leadership, here's what they have. They have an ability to break down major goals into smaller assignments for success. You see, here's the reality that God told to Pharaoh. There's going to come 7 years of plenty. There's going to come 7 years of famine. It's coming. It is coming. God had made it very clear. It didn't matter if they believed it or not. It was coming. As a matter of fact, there are some facts you and I need to be reminded, reoriented to over and over, that there's facts that are as firm as that and even more firm. You know, you and I know that the end of the world is coming. God has said it in his word. You and I know the rapture is going to take place. God has said it in his word. So what happens? Person with the gift of leadership, they break things down for smaller, successful assignments. And in the life of Joseph, here's what Joseph knew. This land is going to be in havoc in 7 years. If there's not plenty of food saved up, there's going to be starvation and death. Don't you ever discredit your ability to lead, because it may be very well your words that are what somebody else needs. And you see, if Joseph had said, well, you know, I don't want to be pushy, Pharaoh. I just want to back down. I wonder how many people God has called to lead, and they just sort of back up because they say, well, I just don't want to be pushy. Listen. You are going to give account of what spiritual gift God has given to you if you're saved. You're going to give account. And friend, if you're not saved, you're in a different scenario all along, because you're going to face the white throne judgment at the end of the 1,000 years the Lord's going to reign on the earth, and that's going to be absolutely horrendous for you. But the reality is that, you know, they have that ability to break down. And thirdly, you know, whenever it comes to spiritual gifts, here's what a leader is. They have the ability to be a self-starter. You know, when you look at the passage in Genesis, when Pharaoh asked Joseph to go throughout the land and to gather the crops and to bring the crops in and to put them into the storehouses, the warehouses, so that there'd be... Imagine if Joseph had slept in. Imagine if Joseph was the type that had to be prodded and pushed and, come on, Joseph, help us out here, buddy. Joseph was not that type of person. Joseph was, yes, sir, I'm ready to go. You know why? There was that gift of leadership on the inside of him. And some of you, you look at yourself and say, that's exactly me. Maybe you get frustrated at family members or you get frustrated at somebody else. Say, I just don't understand. You know, I'm ready to go. Why are they always lagging behind? Let me say this. Be patient with them. Be patient. As I grew up, my mother would always say about my dad, whenever he had to travel someplace and preach, he said he always leaves in plenty of time to change 2 flat tires. You know, that's just the way my dad was. He was motivated and self-starter. But I look back and that was his gift because God had called him to preach. And you see, the reality of it is, if you're one that has to be told and prodded, then probably you don't have the gift of leadership. But here's what a person has the gift of leadership. You just tell me the time, the place, when, where, I'm there. You don't have to send them 25, 30 letters. You don't have to tell them over and over again. Why? Because God has given to them that ability. Now listen, your spiritual gift can even be used in other locations as well, but here's the reality. God is the one who gives spiritual gifts. You don't get spiritual gifts just by going to school. You get spiritual gifts from holy God himself. And that's exactly what Paul was trying to infuse into the Romans, into the saints of God. He says, you have been infused by God with spiritual gifts. Now put them into practice. And you see, here's the reality. One of the realities why we have a world that is dying without Christ. People aren't using their gifts for the glory of God. Why some leaders are not leading is because they just say, well, I just don't want to look pushy. Let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you rather die and the Lord know you didn't mean to look pushy and you please him than try to please everybody else? And so, you know, third of all, you know, that ability to be a self-starter. And then fourth, jot it down. They have an ability to know what resources they have at their access, at their disposal. Think about it. When a person has the gift to lead, here's what they do. They want to say, what are my resources? What resources are at my disposal to get the job done? You see, here's what Joseph knew. I've got 7 years to get this accomplished. God has said there's going to be 7 years of plenty, but at the end of that 7 years is going to be famine. Joseph, under the leadership of God, by the power of his spirit, he knew what resources were available to him. And so Joseph took that godly direction to heart, and he went throughout the land. And as he went throughout the land, he was seeing, you know, there was plenty that was brought into those storehouses because in 7 years, there wasn't going to be any food. And you see, sometimes we just say, well, I just don't understand why people who have the gift of leadership sometimes are so pushy. Have you ever thought your life could be on the line? Have you ever thought, and I can remember as a boy listening before I got saved, I can remember listening to the preacher preach, and he was speaking very emphatically and firmly about a place called heaven and a place called hell. Why does it seem like the preachers are being so pushy? Because they know the truth. And there really is a heaven to gain, amen? There really is a hell to shun, amen? And that person who has the gift of leadership, you know, they want to use their life, their time, their energies, resources. And so they look, what resources are at my access? What, you know, resources are available to me? And you see, a person who has the gift of leadership is going to be constantly aware. You know why? And here's the simple reality. Person with the gift of leadership, they're not accountable to other people ultimately. Now listen very carefully. I've had the privilege to be your pastor for 20 years, but here's what I know. In the judgment, you're not going to be judging me. In the judgment, the Lord is going to be judging me. And oftentimes I ask, Father, is there something you're telling me to do that I'm not doing? And sometimes leaders are misunderstood. They're misinterpreted. But you know what? A leader who has that spiritual gift of leadership, he knows that his time is not going to be long on this earth. Listen, you know, You look at your in the mirror and you think what age you are, and I look and I think I'm 54 years old. It was yesterday when I was riding a bicycle, seems like. Now, it wasn't literally yesterday, but I mean, it seemed like yesterday when I was talking to Trace this morning. We was talking about bike riding and bike wrecks and bike scrapes and all that. But listen, you know what happens? Your life, the Bible says, is like a vapor. And you're going to be gone. And you know what? A person who has a spiritual gift, they exercise it because they know they don't have a lot of time. Even if you live to be as old as the oldest lady in the world, who is 117 years of age. Someone asked her, called her by her name, and said, "How do you get to be as old as you are?" She said, "Mind my own business. And second, don't eat junk food." But here's the reality. Our life is soon going to be gone. That is, from this world. And so a person who has a spiritual gift, you've only got so many years to use your spiritual gift. You've only got so many years to exercise your spirit. And imagine standing in the presence of Christ and Him saying to you, "You failed." Didn't fail because you did a lot of bad things, because that's covered by the blood of Christ. You failed because you didn't exercise your, and I want to emphasize the word, your spiritual gift. Well, a person who has the gift of leadership, number five, they know what can and cannot be delegated. In the life of Joseph, Pharaoh had been given a dream. God had given Pharaoh a dream that here's the reality. There's coming a time of famine. There's going to be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. And after that, but here's what Joseph knew. There are some things leaders can and cannot delegate. And that's what a true leader knows. If you have that spiritual gift of leadership, there are some things you can pass on to others that are around you, but there are some things you can't pass on. There are some things that you cannot delegate as a spiritual leader. You know, and the reality is a leader doesn't look at winning and losing. He's not in a contest with somebody else. Here's what a spiritual leader is, and you may be a spiritual leader in the home. And everyone has that gift of, has that ability of being a mother or father in the home. But here's the issue is being a leader and being honorable before God. And Paul said, some of you have the gift of leadership. And no doubt Paul had the gift of leadership as well. And you see, they may appear boastful and proud, and that wasn't Joseph at all. As a matter of fact, I've seen some men, and I've heard some people talk about some of God's men and others as well, women who have the gift of leadership. And they're the most humble people in the world when you listen to them carefully and closely. Other people may boast on them and say, "Well, they just want to be out in front." You know what a person with the gift of leadership knows? Somebody better be out in front. Somebody better be out in front or there's going to be chaos and pandemonium. I never will forget one time when I was in college. I happened to be in a town in Tennessee, and before this happened, I worked for the State Department. I was a flagman and worked for the State Highway. My father-in-law helped me get a job there for the summer, worked for the summer and went back to college. But we was in a town in Tennessee, and two cars had an accident, and it was a pretty bad accident. And as I looked at that, I thought, there's a whole bunch of cars trying to figure out how to get around them. Before I knew it, I was out there right in the middle of that. I was flagging this way, this way, this way, this way, this way, because I'd been used to it. And my dad said, "Don't get out there." And as he just stood back and he watched, here's something that I realized. And here's something, if you have a gift of leadership, if there's a crisis, you can't sit back. A person who has the gift of leadership cannot sit back in a crisis. Why? Because God has infused them with that spiritual gift. Other people may sit back, and these cars were trying to go around, and so I just politely went out there, and I said, "Stop, you stop right here, you go come along." And then after a little bit, I stopped him, and I said, "You can come along." And then I turned the other direction, and after I got done, my dad gave me the best compliment I guess I've ever had in a situation like that. He said, "Where'd you learn that? You're a flagman, you know what to do." Listen, here's something that God puts in those who have the gift of, you've got to lead because there's going to be crisis and pandemonium, and somebody's got to lead. And one of the things that God knew in the life of, imagine if Joseph had just said, "You know, Lord, somebody needs to do something about this situation or people are going to die." And then Joseph went over to somebody else and said, "Don't you think somebody needs to do something about this situation?" "Well, somebody sure does." And then 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 5 year, 7 years goes along, and nobody does anything. Death. Listen, whenever God has given a spiritual gift of leadership, that person approaches it humbly because he knows he's accountable to God. There's nobody in this sanctuary that stands under a stricter judgment than I do. Because the Bible says the servant of God stands under strict judgment. But here's the reality. As God has given you a spiritual gift, you know, there's that tendency to just, you know, lead in that time of chaos and six, jot it down. There's a tendency to remove himself from small details to keep the big picture in mind. Now tonight we're going to be prayer walking the entire community. We're going to prayer walk because it's needed. But it's being broken down. Why? For the success of it. But here's the reality. When Paul was talking about that spiritual leadership, you go back to Joseph, and the Bible says in Genesis 41:34, let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in seven plenteous years. What did God do? God allowed Joseph to break it down into smaller assignments, and Joseph was removed from those smaller assignments, not because he wasn't concerned about it, but here's what Joseph, he saw the big picture. Now, let me give you an illustration right out of your home. You got three or four kids, and it comes Saturday morning. This was the way it was at our house. On Saturday morning, my mom would give us assignments. Now, Connie, you take out the rugs and you dust them off. Every Saturday was rug dusting off day at our house. Benny, you get the pledge and you pledge all the furniture. And I love pledging the furniture, you could tell. And then Dad, well, Dad would be somewhere around. But anyway, and Mom would take her assignment. And she said, now let's do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, and we'll have the assignment done. What was my mother doing? She knew that there's a lot of things that need to be done, and it's hard for one person because there's a lot of other things she had to do as well, being a pastor's wife. But here's what she did. She broke it down into smaller assignments so it could be accomplished. Now, a person who has the gift of leadership, they have that ability to break things down into small assignments. Joe, you do this. John, you do this. Sam, you do this. You do this. And this is how this is going to be accomplished. You know why? Because God has given to them the gift of leadership. And somebody else say, man, how did you learn all that stuff? Where did you learn that? What school did you go to? What do you mean? And you see, some of the best leaders I have ever known, they've not gone very far in school, but they have used and exercised their God-given giftedness for the glory of God. And so, you know, there's that tendency, and Joseph removed himself from the smaller pictures. Why? So the bigger picture. And listen, and sometimes it happens in leadership, and oftentimes leaders are misunderstood. Well, pastor's not interested in this, or he's not interested in this, or he's not interested in this, or he's that person has the leadership. No, here's what they know. There's only so much time to do so many things. And that's why there is a real interest in making people who have the gift of leadership in place. Oftentimes, disaster sets in the church when somebody who don't have a gift of leadership is put in a position of leadership, don't know much about leadership, and they can't give leadership. That's not to fault them. But you find a person who has the gift of mercy and put them in leadership, a lot of times they'll be in a crisis. But here's the reality. You have been gifted by God. And so with that gift of leadership is that gift of is the reality of responsibility. Well, number seven. And this is the toughest one. One that's willing to endure a reaction. You know, if there's one thing that comes with being a pastor, and anything that comes with being a leader, it's enduring reaction. And in the life of Joseph, that was the case in his life. He had to endure some reaction. Probably other people thought, well, there's old Joseph. Look at him. Look what he thinks of himself. You know, people have always said that. But let me ask you a question. When you die, don't you want to know you've used your giftedness for the glory of God? Sure you do. And you see, when a person walks in obedience to the Spirit of God, he's not really or she's not really upset if other people are upset because their goal is not to hurt anybody. Listen to me very carefully. I would never hurt any one of you, but if the Word of God hurts you, that's a different story altogether, amen? Because it's His Word, not my Word. I didn't write the book, I'm just the messenger. And you see, the reality of it is, if you're not using God's gift he's given you, you're being rebellious and disobedient. And there's not going to be blessing in your life. You can bow your head and you can pray and you can ask God to bless your home, but the answer is going to be no. Because God's gifted you with a specific gift for his glory. And your giftedness is to be a betterment to the body of Christ. I think about the number of members we've got in this fellowship, and I think about, wonder what would happen, wonder what type of impact we could make on the kingdom of God and in this community if those who been saved by the grace of God just put into practice their giftedness. And you see, this is what Joseph knew. Listen, he saw a people that needed saving. Now, he didn't know all about some things that you and I know. He knew, he knew God's spirit and he knew God's word. But here's what he also knew. He knew that his people needed saving, and if he didn't use his giftedness, they would die. And that's why you and I, we gather together, we hear the word of God. And as we hear the word of God, God convicts some and brings them to faith in Christ. Because here's what you and I know, that if a person doesn't come to Christ, they will die and be separated from the Lord by their sins. And you see, person who has that gift of leadership, and I think about some, I can remember as a boy, I don't guess I heard anybody talked about more than I heard Billy Graham talked about by some preachers in our community. It wasn't positive either. They would say some things, and I thought, why are they said? And I realized as I got a little bit older, they're just jealous. Maybe God put them in a small place, and they didn't have a large church, or they weren't pastoring a large church. Listen, that's not the issue. The issue is being faithful unto death. Amen? Lord didn't say to you and me, be thou successful. The issue is being faithful, and when you use your giftedness, you know what you've done? You have said, yes, Lord, I acknowledge I have a gift. And by your help and by your grace, I'm going to use it. I was reading a message the other day from someone, and he made a sobering truth. And he said, the sad reality is a lot of believers, when it comes to listening and to hearing, it's like a ghost town in their heart. Because they don't listen. Now listen very carefully. What will you do with this message, by the way? What will you do with this message when it comes to your giftedness? What will you do in your life? You say, well, I'll give it consideration. No, you won't. You'll do one of two things. You'll either obey or you'll disobey. If you have the gift of leadership, and the Lord has fingered you and said, you know what? You need to stand up and be the leader, and you need to serve, and you need to... You say, well, Lord, I just don't want to do that. There is no option when it comes to the Word of God. There's no neutral ground. You either obey or disobey. Now, let me paint a scenario for a moment. Suppose for a moment Joseph just completely disobeyed the command of God. 7 years of plenty would have still happened, but God's man wouldn't have been there. The harvest wouldn't have been saved. The summer would have been over. The 7 years of plenty would have been over. And the people would have what? People would have died. I want to ask you a hard question. Who is potentially dying because of you? Who is potentially dying, not being touched, because you have decided not to use your gift? You say, well, nobody. Are you sure? Are you really sure about that? You have been given a spiritual gift by Holy God for which you will give complete accountability. And so will I. And you see, when you look and you say, well, problem in the home is leaders in the home. Dads have decided not to lead anymore. We live in a world where it is amazing the belief that God doesn't even exist anymore. You see, here's the reality. When people don't use their giftedness, there is death. Let me just give you this one scenario. 900 churches close a year. Why? Why does it happen? People not using their giftedness. People not stepping up to the plate and say, you know what, I'm going to do what God told me to do. Now, if God gives you a gift, He'll guide you. You say, well, I don't know exactly what it is, but here's the reality. He will guide you and show you how to use that. I wish I could tell you how bashful I was when God called me to preach. If you would have fast-forwarded me at 16, I was on the way from the softball field. We'd just got finished playing softball. Man, I lived and died with softball. We had a softball league, and I couldn't wait to play. It bothered me if it rained. What if I hadn't done that? What if you hadn't surrendered? Here's the reality. God has given you a gift. Lastly, there are going to be a rich life rewarded by devotion and obedience. Now listen to me real carefully. I want you to listen. I want you to listen real close. Do you ever feel like a failure? I got together with a pastor friend just a few days ago, and I just asked him, I said, do you ever feel like a failure? Here's the reality. I can preach, but I can't decide for anyone else. And there are times in leaders' lives where they feel like failures. And I felt so good when he said to me, he said, Benny, that has happened to me all throughout the ministry. You feel sometimes like a failure. If I ask you to raise your hand if you've ever felt like a failure, I guarantee you many hands would go up. But listen to me very carefully. Feelings are not the facts. Amen? Feelings are not the final say. Here's the reality. You use your giftedness. You serve where God has planted you. You use that gift of mercy, if you've been given mercy or a teaching or exhortation or whatever your gift, or if it's the gift of leadership. And you know what? All you're called to do is to respond in obedience to God. Paul, it's interesting, whenever he gets ready to close his life out and go home to be with the Lord, he doesn't say, man, I've been successful. There's been a lot of people that's followed me. No. Here's what he says. And I think about it often. That's why I say it. I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Because you see, here's the reality. You don't know when your course will come to an end. Charlotte and I was stopped by traffic for some period of time yesterday. And when we was coming back, someone's life probably was over because it had all the markings of a fatal car accident. And I thought, here was a person in a little Chevrolet going down the road. Here was a man in a GMC truck going down the road, minding their own business, when somebody's life was probably over. Listen to me very carefully in closing. You don't give account of anybody else, but here's what you do give account of. You give account of you. If you have been lazy, slothful, treating the Word of God with little effect on your life, you'll give account that way. But if you've been obedient and said, Lord, I've done the best I can with what I've got, then He'll honor your life. That's exactly His Word. Whatever gift you have, here's the word of the Father to you and to me. You be faithful. 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 You be faithful, and you be faithful unto death. And Heavenly Father, how we praise you and worship you and bow humbly before you, because it's you that's given us the gift that we have to advance the cause of Christ, to serve the Lord God. And Father, we live in a world where supposed so many are just saved, and that's all they can say. But Father, that's really not the truth. If they're saved, they have a gift. And Lord, just as you created us and brought us into this world, and just as sure as you created the world in 6 literal days, we will literally give an account to you. We will give account of our life. We will give account of our time. We'll give account of our gifts. I pray for that person who's realized for the first time they've been given a gift and they're simply not using it. Pray that you would draw them to this altar this morning. That person who's here that's without faith in Jesus Christ, I pray for that person. Lord, you love them and you want to save them, but you respect us so much that you will save no one apart from their willingness to invite you into their heart. Father, I pray for that person who has made a private profession of faith, but Father, to leave it private is not completely pleasing to you. You remind us that if we're ashamed of you, you will be ashamed of us before your Father. And Father, have your will, have your way, is my heart's yearning in this invitation. In Jesus I pray.